Pastor Brown, appreciate another opportunity to share tonight. He asked us originally coming in the morning, and then also tonight our schedule was still free, and so it's been a blessing. And we've really enjoyed ourselves here. The church have just, you all opened up your arms and took us in and have loved on us so much. It's been refreshing. It's been very good to be here. And one of the things that I just really want to praise you as a church for is your knowledge of us as missionaries and what's going on in our work even before we got here, following our prayer letters and knowing different people, and even in our ministry of, oh, how's this person doing, and not just saying their name and everything. We've just been blown away, really. And that's what a good church should do. So that's great. But oftentimes we don't see that. We don't see that in churches. So praise the Lord for you. Thank you so much. I said it again this morning, but thank you so much for your prayers, for your support. It means so much. We couldn't be there without you. And so you've got fruit there in Japan laid onto your account through your service to the Lord. We appreciate so much the hotel that's been provided for us so graciously. Really nice place to stay. The middle of town. I guess now they have a center of town now in the townhouse. I heard that. And then we also appreciate the honorarium that was given to us and the love offering taken for us. Pastor just told me a few minutes ago about how much that was. And I'm just blown away. Thank you so much for your graciousness. We pray God's blessing and great that it would be multiplied to you many times over. The Lord's been good to us in so many ways. Always meets our needs and is always doing more than we abundantly above what we ask or think. So we praise his name for that. If you want to know more about us, please come meet with us. Get a prayer card. Ask us any questions you can. Tonight I just wanted to focus a little bit more on the scripture, but I could talk forever about Japan, it seems like, so I'm going to try not to get off on too many tangents, hopefully, tonight. I didn't know how long, Pastor, I don't think you gave me an end time this morning, and he didn't give me any end time tonight. In Japan, I'm used to going longer because oftentimes I'm throwing English in there too for those who don't understand. So we go oftentimes an hour and a half. I'm not planning that tonight. Don't worry. But it's good to get into God's Word. There's so much truths in there that we can learn from, and or we should always be learning from. Are you ready tonight to get into the Scriptures, the Word of God? Take your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Again, I'm going back to a message that I preached at our church in Japan as we were going through the book of Acts. And if you want to know, we're still going through the book of Acts there. Our schedules right now, we've got someone coming, a Japanese pastor, filling in for us once a month while we were there. We also have a missionary in Hokkaido that is doing live services and then sending them to our church while we are gone. And so they are currently watching that for their Sunday services. Of course, Japan, the time change, their Sunday is already over. It's actually Monday morning there now. So what we actually are doing on Saturday nights, we join their Sunday school class and do kind of a prayer time with them instead of our Wednesday night prayer time, which really doesn't work out time-wise. So that's what we've been doing every Saturday night, and spending some time with through the ways we can, communication, DDC. So it's just such amazing opportunities we can do. And then also some of the months, about at least once a month, I'm going to be preaching from the States and doing it live service, sometimes late Saturday night, for their service on Sunday. And so we did, of course, originally, I talked this morning about we had some missionaries lined up and they were going to fill in for us. And that's why we're having this longer furlough set up The times before, we did 3 months at a time for furlough. This is a five, almost 6 months furlough. So I'm worried about our church in Japan. I say worried. I know God's in control, and he's going to take care of them. But we just keep remembering our church in Japan in your prayers while we're here on this furlough. The devil sure likes to work in ways and things behind the scene that we don't know. So we're trying to, the best we can, keep in really good communication with everyone. So we trust that God will continue to bless there. Anyways, I'm getting off again, and so let's go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. I'm going to read a verse first in 2 Peter 3:18. You probably know this verse already. Verse 17, speaking about, you know, how there's error and there's things in the world today that we need to be aware of. 2 Peter 3:17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." And I actually just last Wednesday night heard this at our home church. We had visited there, and the pastor was speaking about humility and the grace of God and growing in grace. And I thought that verse also fitting tonight. God wants us to grow in our knowledge of him and our grace, the grace of God. And we see this in Acts chapter 4 as well. I titled this, "The Great, Great Grace Upon Us All." As that's what we see in verse number 33. This passage ends, "And great grace was upon them all," the church there, the first church there in Jerusalem. So let's start the beginning of this passage, verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, and thou hast made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll use these words in our hearts tonight to help us in this area, these truths of Scripture, to understand and to apply them to our life. Lord, I pray you a blessing upon this church, that they would have the abundant grace of God upon their life, that they would grow in grace. Help me as well, as an individual, as a missionary, my family, our work there in Japan. I pray you would give us grace, that we would grow in grace. And I'll thank you for what you'll do tonight. Give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So very quickly tonight, some ways that I can see that they received grace. How did this church, how could they receive this grace? What was the situation that brought about great grace upon them all at the end of verse number 3, verse 33? First, in verse 24, of course, the circumstances here weren't the best circumstances to be heading into. Of course, there was persecution in the church. the disciples there, Peter and John, like were facing imprisonment and being released. There was difficulty to say, what's going to happen? If your pastor, Pastor Brown, of course, will be in a way, he was not put in prison, thankfully. He actually went willingly. But can you imagine the leadership of this church, maybe your deacons as well, all of a sudden being put in prison, and what's going to happen? What's going to go on now? And yet here they were released and facing the situation. Immediately what they go to is that they lift up their voice in praise and in prayer to God. Verse 24, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. A lot of times what our natural reaction is to when we face something, things that we don't understand, we complain and say, why? Why did this have to happen? What's going on? Are we going to get arrested? Are they going to get arrested again? What's going to happen here? And yet, no, that was not their response at all. They had unity together of praise God for what he has done here. You were able to be a witness and a testimony, stand up for God, be a witness for God, even there in the prison. And here God has, of course, given us a time back together again. But all glory and praise be to God. With one accord, it says. They all joined in their hearts and minds together. And this is what God desires for us all as a church, as a body of believers of Christ, that we follow God. Romans 15. I want to look at that passage real quickly. Romans chapter 15. I'm surprised today at how much, you know, the devil wants to cause disorderliness within a church. He wants to trace factions, groups, different people that will hone together and not have a unity together. Now, I haven't noticed at all. I don't know what's going on in your church at all. I don't notice anything like that. I have a feeling you are all unified together. I have nothing to disagree about that. But this passage of Scripture, of course, the devil wanted to separate this church. He wanted to cause some trouble here, and as well as the church in Rome, and Paul is writing to them. Chapter 15, verse number 5, verse 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And this is so important for a church to have God's grace and power upon it. There has to be unity there, together. And now, I don't know the situation coming up with this man that's going to preach, and somebody's going to say, I love that man. He needs to be coming to our church, and then telling another person, telling the deacon, oh, man, I don't like him. No, we can't do that. I have no idea what's going to happen there, but I just know how the devil works sometimes. And so I just pray that God would give you a spirit of unity here, that you would seek, of course, not your own will or what I desire, but what's God's want, what is his will, and seeking that. And when we all look to him and we look at Christ and he's the leader and he's the head, then we all come together. That's how it's like a triangle, you know. This person over here, they're all looking at him, and they get closer together like that. And that's how it works, really, in life, in all our situations in life, whether it's our relationships in our family or different coworkers, all those kinds of things. As a Christian, we look to Jesus, and that draws us together. And those who may be separated from us, don't agree with us, or are going other ways, or are even contrary to us, trying to put us in prison or kill us, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, and he has forgiven us, we can forgive them, and still have peace with one another. And so unity in the church is so important. When we've faced problems in our church in Japan, just like every church does, sometimes you have people leave the church. Sometimes you have someone in the church who's, you know, causing a problem or talking to this person, talking to that person. We face things like that. Even before we came back on our trip to Japan, I thought, oh, everything's been going so smoothly the last year here. And then about 2 weeks before we left, it seemed like we were getting phone call after phone call every single day of something going on here. And we thought, boy, the devil doesn't want us, you know, he wants to cause some trouble here even before we leave. And someone that I'm not going to get into details of anything, but someone that we were very worried about that we almost had to do church discipline with, who had left our church over a year ago, and was suddenly coming back to Japan the day that we were flying out of Japan. And we thought, well, that's not coincident. Very worried about, is this person going to come back, cause some trouble or things? Because the devil, he works in all kinds of ways. I was talking to another man here tonight, back there in the back there, about how the devil, the prince of the power of the air, is working in ways that we'd often don't see. But of course, we know that our God is working as well. And he is much, much stronger. We don't have to worry about how the devil works, as long as we are following God, keeping our eyes on him. And one of the ways that they were doing it is uni together and praising God. And I want to thank you, church, tonight. I got a phone book. For using this. I've gone to a lot of churches before where they've turned to that, and this gets set aside or thrown out, and we don't see it anymore. But thank the Lord, you're singing from a hymn book. I appreciate that so much. There's so much truth in Scripture here. Things that, it's just a blessing to hear. I can't remember if I said it this morning or not. When we sing in Japanese, it's not the same as when we sing in English. It just isn't. The Japanese language, how it works, it's the syllables. You have to say so many syllables in order to say the same thing. It takes so much longer to say the same thing. So one verse in English that we sing oftentimes is 2 to 3 verses in Japanese. And so some churches we go to, even they'll sing, okay, verse 1, and we'll skip and go down to verse 5, and then that'll be done. But I think every hymn we've sang here today, you sang every single verse. I was like, yes! You got all the truth there. You're not skipping on us. And I love singing those songs. So thank you. Appreciate that very much. But it's just not the same, because in Japanese, you have to say this big, long phrase just to get that one little small truth that we say in English. So I hope you appreciate how much singing in English is a blessing. You probably won't until you live in another place for, you know, 5 years or 10 years with a different language. But praise the Lord for the songs that he's given us that we can praise and worship him. And of course, we worship in our hearts, but we praise him with our lips. And this church did that, praising God for what he had done. You know, we should praise God in every circumstance. Those two making profession of faith today, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, receiving the Lord. Well, that's a great thing. See God work in that great way. We see something terrible happen, and we think, oh, this is devastating. Continue to praise the Lord. Don't stop praising the Lord. When you keep praising God, you can't get down. You can't get discouragement, because when you're praising God, you put all your focus on him, and God makes no mistakes. He is always right. He is always good. He is always true and just and loving. And no matter what my circumstances are, if we're in the prison, if we're getting our backs beaten with stripes, praise the Lord for what he has done. And that's how the church's attitude was. God is good, and they were praising God with one accord, lifting up to God. The content of their praise, in particular, was about God's creation, that he was the creator of all things. That's what verse 24 says. Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Often to the Japanese, they don't understand when you talk about God because they use that word, interchangeably with all kinds of different spirit gods and different things that they believe in. It doesn't really mean anything to them. And you say the word God, what do you mean God? Which God? Until the Creator God, the one that made the world and all things. And going back to that truth, there is a God that made us in 6 days, a miraculous event where he breathed life into us and gave us, man became a living soul. Such a spectacular thing. God is our creator, the one who gives us life, our sustainer. He is all-powerful, almighty, and he is the only one who should be the ultimate authority in our life, who we have a responsibility to give him honor, to give him praise, because he is our creator. And they admitted it before God. You are in control. You are the author, the finisher. You're the one that made it all. You made the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth, verse 25, of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, I love this part of the scripture here. They praise God who created all things. They praise God who spoke his word through man. They recognize the prophecy of David in the Old Testament that this was God giving it to David, David writing it down for us. And they praise God through his word, speaking not only praise with their mouth, but the very words of scripture as they did it. And this is so powerful because God doesn't want us to just read his word or study it. This is our greatest songbook. This is our greatest passage where we can praise God with what he has told to us. And we can speak it back to God. Do you do that when you read God's word and say, praise God for this, and read that passage of scripture, whatever it is, in your devotions? I hope you do. God wants us to do that. They recognize the prophecy of David that he gave was about Jesus Christ. But they not only doing that, they also applied it to their own life. Notice here he says, verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Of course, speaking from the Old Testament in Psalms chapter 2. Verse 27, for of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. So when you get to verse 27, they have very specifically applied the word of God to their life situation. And so the word of God was not just some kind of doctrinal thing that they had in the back of their minds of, yes, this is truth. It was real to them. The things that happened in their life, they said, hey, God's word speaks about this, and they applied it to their life. And so many Christians that I've met that they know the truths of Scripture, but they don't correlate what God's word says to their life at their current time that they're living in. They don't make that application. They're just, okay, I read my Bible today, check, got that mark, that box ticked, and they continue on with their day, but it didn't apply or make application of that of God's truth. And so I love this passage. The church comes together and says, hey, what happened here, how we had faced this kind of persecution, what Jesus was faced, this the Old Testament speaks about this, and this is how we are supposed to react and respond to it. And so let's go back quickly in Psalms chapter 2. I want to look at that passage. Psalms 2. This is another thing that I've tried to get used to. Some of the pastors and preachers that I've heard, even while we're back on the States, they just go from one passage to the next passage, and I'm like, I barely have time to get to that passage. Are you like that? I don't know how Pastor Brown is. I've never sat under his preaching very much, I don't think. But in the Japanese culture, They don't want to just hear what the Bible says. They want to see it with their eyes. And some of that is because of the language, because it uses the Chinese characters, so that if they don't see what that Chinese character is, oftentimes they don't understand what the meaning is behind it. And so they have to look at the word. And so many words in Japanese have multiple different meanings. And so they have to look at it particularly. And so we always take time, make sure you look at the scriptures, because it's more than my words, it's the scriptures that's important. Amen. So Psalms 2, verse 2 and 4, again repeating some of what they said. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." And yet the response, of course, in the end of the chapter, we'll skip down to verse 10. "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." And of course, the end of the psalm here, bringing it together, these people who are going against the Messiah, Pontius Pilate, Herod himself, making a laugh, scorning what Jesus Christ was doing, the Messiah, and yet thinking very little of him and belittling him, and yet they needed to be in place where they are afraid before God. He is going to be their judge, and they're going to have to stand before him, and says, "Be wise now, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, and kiss the Son, lest he be angry." But the end for us as a believer, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And so I think that the church applied this whole passage. I think, I don't know who gave up, maybe gave a message that day, or as they're coming back. But the idea is the whole church gathering together here, praising God, and then also recognizing what God had done in the life of Jesus Christ and his word, how it applied to their situation, how God allowed what happened to Jesus Christ for a purpose because it was his will. We saw that, I don't know if you recognize that verse. It's a wonderful verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 28. This was God's doing. There was nothing outside of God's will, God's sovereignty, about when Jesus died. All the horrible things that happen, of course, many of those fulfillment of Scripture. But in verse 28, "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Although it was Pontius Pilate, although it was Herod doing these terrible things, it was all under God's leading, God's authority, God's sovereignty. To do what God's hand, his counsel determined to be done. And when we can understand that there's nothing that happens in our life, even if we were put in prison, even if that tire broke on us, even if God took our loved one from us, whatever that situation is, God was still in control there. Psalms, I didn't read the verse there, but hey, part of that scripture in Psalms chapter 2, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." God looks down at the wickedness that he sees in this world today, and evil men and evil desires and all kinds of schemes and things. I hate to even talk about some of the things that are happening in this world that I see. I don't want to come into Japan. We have the woke thing taking place. And even when we came 5 years ago, I heard swearing just about everywhere we went, and going to Walmart or different places. And that has not gotten any better. And it's appalling to me. And yet God's looking down at all these. Man thinks they're in control, that they're doing all these things, and yet God says, "No, I'm in control." God's not concerned with that. We can put our trust fully in him and what he's doing. And that's what the church did. They trusted him. Lord, you know what's going on. And then they prayed. You know, when we look at situations in our life, we must look through the lens of God's word. And so God's grace comes through applying God's word. And that's part of the reason they were full of grace. And if we do that in our life as well, we will have that grace in our lives. They praise God who sovereignly works in people's lives. God's grace comes through God's sovereign work. Jesus was not killed. He chose to give his life. And God had already predetermined it. How it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, all these things. God's grace comes through God's Spirit. We see continuing the passage here, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. I said it this morning, I'm going to reiterate tonight. Someone said, oh, that was good. We're coming up on having some door-to-door outreach or some kind of evangelist. I forget what you said exactly. But yeah, we need that. This is our job as a church. If we don't try to reach people with the gospel, if we don't try to go out, like Pastor said, grab the God's plan of salvation. We got this track in Japanese. You know that? Pastor Rich had boxes and boxes of these shipped to Japan. We just ran out of them last year. And so we've been using 10, there was 10,000 in each box, and we've been passing out those for years. Ran out of those now, and I had to get some more ordered. Praise the Lord for that. Pass them out. As I've heard it takes 10,000 tracks in Japan to reach one person. But we have a man in our church that someone gave him a track, and he got saved. Praise the Lord. It works, and it works even there in Japan, and it'll work here. So don't give up on that. Keep passing them out. You never know. Someone might read it years from now. Might get stuffed in a glove box somewhere. You never know. But use your words and use your hands that God gave you, right? Amen. But God works. I'm going to go back. I got off on a tangent here. I'm going back to boldness. We need boldness, right? And praying it for it. And again, here, the church gets together. They're in a situation where is the church, and I heard this from another preacher recently, saying, is it a godly thing? Is it God's will that a church be underground? Is there an underground church? According to this passage, that's what they wanted to do. They say, hey, don't speak in his name. Don't be public with what you're doing here. And yet they as a church got together and says, no, we can't do that. We need to pray for God to give us boldness that we speak his truth. And that's exactly what they did. He says, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. I wish, you know, today maybe we still had that ability where we could say, do some miracles to see people saved. But of course, that was not the purpose of it at all. It was the purpose of to signify that this is the God's message. And they didn't have the complete word of God. Amen. We have this complete word of God today, all of God's truth. We don't need to add to it or take away from it. And so we don't have to have that gift of tongues, as healings and things like that. And yet God did allow those for a time to authenticate his message and his working in the first church there. And so, although we don't have those same kind of sign gifts today, we can pray for God's evident working in our midst. Pray the Holy Spirit's moving so that people can be saved, and through that we can share boldly. And God's grace comes through us speaking God's word and witnessing. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is not the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had already come as well. But the filling, giving their lives completely again, once again to the Lord. And as a Christian, over and over again, each day we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Submitting to him, say, hey, you're in control of my life. I want to do your will. Letting him lead you, just like we talked about this morning. Leading us to the person that God would have us do. Listening to the Holy Spirit. And we, of course, do that through prayer, through the word of God, through confessing our sin, getting before God, humbling ourselves before him. And then in verse 33, he says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Here we have the church, you know, worshiping God together, having unity together in the Spirit, recognizing and listening and applying God's word to their lives, and then asking and praying, coming together in prayer for God's working, for boldness to witness and preach, and then them actually going out and doing it. And here the church is witnessing. And as they're witnessing, of course, God does bless them as they're able to see many wonders done. The apostles had, the Bible says here, great power. The apostles witness, and God gave them witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then great grace was upon them all. It is a wonderful thing to realize the grace of God, to be in a place where you are filled with the Holy Spirit and God's grace is permeating everything in your life, where you realize it's not, of course, you because of your works. Oh, look what I did, so God's grace is on me. No, it's look what I can't do, yet God is giving me grace to do it. God is using us as a church. God has not allowed the church to get divided here. God's allowed us to become united together, to praise God together, to come before him together, to be a witness together, and see the church go forward. People get saved, and God be lifted up, and his resurrection be witness to that. And then grace is grown. I heard recently that comparing humility with the grace in that passage I spoke about earlier in 2 Peter 3:18, growing in grace. We don't grow by lifting of ourselves up or say, oh, I'm going to grow and become bigger and God's grace is on me. We do it when we become smaller and we get down before God and then realize and understand his grace even more. And that's how we grow in grace. The greatest preachers, the greatest missionaries, the people who God used the most, and you could say maybe even the Apostle Paul was the greatest missionary, perhaps, of course, in Scripture. And yet, where did he put himself? Way at the bottom. Said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. There's no one who is worse than I. And yet God's grace is on me. And that's where he was filled with grace. I heard a message also, I'm just kind of preaching from somebody else's message, but when it's good stuff, you want to share it. All right, so I heard, it's the first time I really had experienced something like this in a church before. He was talking about worship and how, of course, worship today is construed in so many different ways of this is how we worship, and people will put all kinds of, you know, rock bands or things up on stage and different lights and all kinds of different smoke or whatever, and people running, you know, lifting up hands and swaying or whatever, and this is worship, we're worshiping God. No, that's not what the Bible says about it. And he was going back to get to the scripture and over, and I guess every Sunday morning they have this call to worship, and in that call to worship time he says, okay, in our church we do a call to worship, and worship is literally bowing down before God, humbling yourself before him, prostrating yourself before him, and honoring him, praising him. Praise is different than worship. And that's been confused a lot, and he's preached that. And I thought, that is good stuff. We today, as a church and as believers, I was talking this morning about putting it on cruise control. Don't get on cruise control. Get yourself down before God and truly worship him. When was the last time you got down on your knees to pray and just praise God, worship him? In that way. When was it? Was it to recently? Oh, yeah, I did that sometime in my life. Oh, wait a minute. How much does God want our worship? I'm getting kind of in a different message here. But God's grace, to be abundant in God's grace, to be filled with grace, this is what the church did. They were worshiping God. They were putting everything in front of him. Lord, you are it. You're our all. And the Bible doesn't say it in this passage in particular, but I think they were worshiping God, bowing down before him. We certainly don't want to bow down, like I said this morning, about the golden cross that the Christian church supposedly worships, and that's how they're teaching to the children in Japan, at least in our city. We don't wish worship that cross, although we do have songs about the cross, because Jesus died on that cross for our sin. And praise the Lord for that. Without him and his work, we would have no hope. But yeah, we don't worship that. We don't worship this pews. We don't worship anything there's nothing sacred here. It's all just material things. We worship God. But in our hearts, of course, we can go and worship him. And with our bodies, we can physically bow down before him and lift him up. God, and then we'll have God's grace, God's abundant grace. Are you involved in the church that is unified together? Is that your goal, to keep this church in unity before God? It is part of your goal to apply God's word to your heart and life every day. Not just to sit there in the Sunday service and say, oh, amen, that's good preaching. But say, no, I'm going to try to apply that in my life this week. I'm going to take those truths and make them my own. I'm going to read the scripture this week as if my life depended on it, because it does. Your spiritual life. And read that scripture and say, how, Lord, can I apply this to me? What can I take away from this to know you more, to follow you in your perfect will? Is that your heart and desire tonight? Has God given you the grace to be able to be filled with the Spirit, to know him, to have that personal fellowship, that walk with him, which is so important? And then applying that through speaking the word of God. Grace comes when we speak God's word. When we witness for him, there's no other joy, but there is great joy that comes to a church that is witnessing, to is following him. Many times, sometimes it gets difficult. If we try to go on Saturdays, passing out, I told you about putting in the mailbox. Sometimes we get to talk to people as well there. But when I don't get to do it, when there's something interrupting and the schedule-wise and things, or sickness comes along and I don't get to go, it just seems like there's something missing here. I didn't get to do it. I'm not doing my job, my responsibility before God. Of course, he knows those things. But when we do get to go, and sometimes it's difficult, and you got to say, oh, I got to, pick myself up here. I'm going to set my schedule aside and the busy things I got to do and say, I'm just going to go and do this. And boy, I'm always so glad that I did. And so I don't know if you're involved in that or not personally, but I would encourage you to get involved in it. This church, say, I'm going to get involved because there's people that need the Lord. And I want to be a witness for him. And this is what God has called us to do. And this church, they had this unity get together. And then God brought great grace upon them all. They were filled with grace. And that's what I want for you as a church, that I want for all of us. And so I want to challenge you with that tonight. Heavenly Father.